Welcome to Episode 6 of the Dean's Podcast, the podcast about issue-shaping graduate studies in Canada. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Carolyn Waters, and I'm the Dean of Graduate Studies at Dalhousie University in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'm also the president of the Canadian Association of Graduate Studies, CAGS, for the year 2009. Every month, please listen in as I talk to other deans, faculty members, postdocs, and graduate students about where graduate studies is going in Canada and internationally. In this episode, I talk with Noreen Gulfman, Dean of Graduate Studies at Memorial University. Memorial recently launched a graduate recruitment campaign that integrated traditional billboard and subway advertising with cutting-edge social media tactics. Dr. Gulfman gives us her insights into how social media is becoming an essential part of any graduate or undergraduate recruiting strategy, and she offers us a peek behind the curtain on this campaign, which netted 38,000 visitors in its first 24 hours. But first, a message from our sponsor.
Hi, my name is Dick Sullentize, and I'm responsible for all career advertising and university affairs. Did you know that most graduate students don't know where to look for academic jobs? Simply because their supervisors haven't told them. Tell the PhDs and postdocs you advise to visit www.universityaffairs.ca for the latest job offers in every discipline. It's free and it's updated daily.
I'm here today at the NAGS conference in lovely Newark, Delaware, with Noreen Gulfman, the Dean of Graduate Studies at Memorial University, and I'm hoping that she'll tell us a little bit about the new recruitment campaign, which I'm seeing across the country from lovely Memorial. So welcome, Noreen.
Thank you. Welcome.
So, Noreen, tell us a little bit about the campaign for graduate studies at Memorial, and then maybe we'll move into the thinking about the tension between the undergraduate and the graduate recruitment and things like that. So let's start off with, what are you doing at Memorial?
Okay, well, we have a whole suite of activities dedicated to different audiences because, as we know, graduate students are not a homogeneous group, and all the advice that we've had from consultants and from our own experience tells us that you can pitch, if you will, your university, your institution's appeal broadly through a kind of general branding campaign, let's say, that benefits everybody in the university. But if you want to really target graduate student markets and needs and interests out there, you have to work with that branding exercise, let us say, but in a more specialized way. So we think in terms of audiences. Let's say we've got Ontario, all of Ontario, densely populated area of the country, as a big general potential pool of recruits. And we would target, let's say, five or six cities in Ontario. And we would have everything, a campaign that was based on a very, very visually appealing look. Nothing too text heavy, because I think today's student really is looking for creativity and a kind of innovative sign of your own kind of progressive with-itness. And that's partly what's going on. I think Newfoundland itself prides itself, even through its own tourism ads, on having a kind of edge. Visually and conceptually, intellectually, artistically, and we're capitalizing on that too in our own visual campaign.
Let me just interrupt here for a minute, because I was in Toronto last week and I saw one of these lovely ads, and it is in fact on the edge. It's a student sitting on the edge of a rock, of course, in Newfoundland, looking out over the ocean with a laptop.
Right.
Just two colors, I think, pretty much the reddish color and the sea color. Very attractive.
Yeah, the idea is, the ads are the photographic look is black and white, and the red is the claret, which is a memorial color. So you get the spot of claret. So it's meant to stand out from all the other, the kind of massive color out there in the visual universe. So if you might see it if you go to a movie theater. You might see it on the back page of a Globe and Mail or the Ottawa Citizen. You might see it if you're riding the subway in Toronto, for instance, where, you know, there'd be a kind of freeze up in the subway ceiling on the streetcars. You might see it in transit or bus shelters. And so it's meant to, for about 5 or 6 weeks, be just about everywhere you turn your head, and especially if you're a student, if you're a potential graduate student, kind of places where they might be hanging out or in transit or scanning, if you will, the environment and having this pop out at them.
Are there different ones for the undergraduate from the graduate, or are they all the same?
No, they're different. The marketing and communications department at Memorial has been very conscientious about making those distinctions. There is a general edginess to all of the ads, but what they've done for the graduate studies campaign is exploit, and as you've said, it's this edginess that is both a geographical fact, if you will, and a kind of general figurative or metaphorical fact of life in Newfoundland. And the idea is to play with the cliche literally, which is so overused or badly used in common speech, and to exploit that, to kind of remint it. So the image of, let's say, a student sitting literally on the edge
of a rock.
Of a rock, or on the continent, of the continent, is being played with in those ads. So
at least there's no screech.
No. It's a very clean ad, very chaste ad, appealing to a kind of environmental purity.
Yeah. Now, how much impact did the graduate studies itself have in this? So did it come out of communications and marketing?
That's a really good question, because as you know, working with other departments in the university, even if they're working for the whole university, is not always an easy thing to do. And I've been boasting about this whole effort being a model of collaboration between or among three units: School of Graduate Studies, Marketing and Communication, and Computer and Communications, because it also extends into our web campaign, which is really very, very extensive. And I can say more about that, but that's, of course, where today's, if you will, potential client or browser is really situated. And that's where you want to pull them in. So all of these visual signs, if you will, are meant to reinforce each other, but they're really grounded in a kind of web-based campaign. The effort to, if you will, get everybody talking on the same page, you know, that takes time. This has been the result of 4 or 5 months of meetings, lots of tension. I guess when you've got creative people in particular who are really invested in a certain look or a certain word, they're going to be very territorial about it. But at the end of the day, you come out with a really solid, unified sense of what the mission is. And it's not often evident at universities that we can actually work together that well. So I'm really proud of the fact that we pushed through and came up with something we're all very proud of.
Now, did you have to designate a staff member in grad studies and put those kinds of resources into this?
That's too is a good question, because we have an office of recruitment that is dedicated largely to undergraduate studies. And although it always pays attention to us, it doesn't necessarily dedicate itself to us. So one of the things that I did as a new dean last year was really detail off staff member, existing staff members, to a very intense recruitment agenda, working with these departments that I've mentioned, because it didn't happen organically or naturally out of the kind of established or reified sets of duties that the School of Graduate Studies has always defined for its staff. So that too marked an evolution, and it was really good, I think, for the staff who got involved, because it really enhanced their job descriptions. They had a learning curve, and there's a whole language to marketing communication, which most of our colleagues are rather really resistant to, actually, but have come around to recognize that there is creative power in that, and there's recruitment power in recognizing it if you do it right and respectfully. So it's been great for staff, and in fact, it's led us to redefine some of our actual staff duties, and to grow the school's complement that way.
Did you have any trouble at all getting acceptance from communications and marketing in the undergraduate recruitment to actually getting grad studies people on those teams as fully participating members?
Not so much resistance, but it was more passive, maybe indifference, or just really not keeping us in on their radar. And it's been our effort, our activity, our really more aggressive insistence on being part of the decision making, which offset their passivity. So they weren't unwelcoming, but they hadn't really extended their thinking to us. And once we got on board and have been working through these kinds of collaborative efforts, they started to get it, that it was in their best interest to include us.
I love this. I can just see all my staff nodding their heads and say, that's what happened to us too. Yeah. So what about international recruitment? Are you involved in that as well?
Now that's an area where we intersect more with the Office of Recruitment itself, because they have in large measure a capacity and a kind of network that they've already established. It's grounded. Our challenge is to figure out how can we use our current resources to exploit their network and to enhance it. And we're in that process now. I have been, again, more or less as a new dean, trying to figure out, to rationalize the very discrete kind of fragmented sets of activities around international recruitment that have gone on to date. I want a more coherent sense of where the real market interests are. I don't see any point in just responding to every international initiative. We don't necessarily need 150 Saudi Arabian students showing up at our door tomorrow without us really being prepared to handle them, and or them going into one particular cohort and one professional discipline. That doesn't really serve our overall comprehensive mission of recruitment. So it's a kind of balancing act at the moment, and I haven't, to be honest, really quite fully figured it out.
The other balancing act that maybe you can talk about is the balancing act between graduate studies, the whole notion, and individual oceanography, right? Different programs. They have their own strengths in their own recruitment, and trying to integrate that into some kind of cohesive strategic plan here.
Right. That's really key. One of the things you learn very quickly is that if you don't have all of those discrete units on side with you and support in turn their own recruitment efforts, then you're kind of whistling in the dark. So the effort that it takes on the ground to make sure that there is this sense of a general mission, of a team effort, but recognizing and being sensitive to their needs is really critical, and that is a balancing act. Some departments are completely passive, or programs, about recruitment. They think it's all of our job to do, and others are much more engaged, as you know. I think the real challenge at this point is getting them to recognize that the marketing or recruitment tools that we have been harnessing are in their best interest to avail of. So again, technology and the kind of electronic networking and social networking devices that we've been using serve them as well. So we're trying to link with them in that way. In for instance, the arts and the social sciences, the humanities, there's still this notion that you go to a conference and you distribute brochures, glossy brochures. That cost, I don't know, maybe $700. But you keep throwing $700 at these units. You know, we know where those brochures end up. People open them up and then litter them. They become just waste and garbage. So getting departments that maybe have a kind of old-fashioned sense of what recruitment should be or how it should be enacted is part of that challenge. So you can support them by saying, look, you're going to get so much more potential out of this method of dissemination of what you have and what your appeal is than your old-fashioned way. So,
okay, well, let's go there. As you know, I'm always interested in the hard edge of technology. So what about the Twitters and the Facebooks and the YouTubes? So how are you working that into your program?
Well, I think if you ignore any all of that at your own peril, as I said earlier, unless you recognize that your potential graduate student out there, your curious grad student who's shopping, if you will, online for programs, the way I shop for a hotel or a beach somewhere in the world, then you're really out to lunch. And you've got to respect that that is the way they're absorbing and processing information and doing their comparative shopping, so to speak. So you've got to ensure that not only your website is up to date, and up to date is really, you can't underestimate the power of that currency that you have to be on top of, but that each units, each programs, that there really is a connect among all of your links, because if there isn't, then students are going to smell, if you will, that kind of lack of focus or lack of a sense of coherence about what you're offering as a School of Graduate Studies. So we've been working very hard with the whole variety, the whole menu, if you will, of social networking spaces. Certainly Facebook, just to give you an obvious example, our annual graduate studies lecture was held just a couple of weeks ago, and we invited somebody from, an engineer from Stanford. He's kind of a cult figure. His name's Jorge Cham, and he's the guy you probably know who devised this PhD, hugely popular PhD comic strip called Piled Higher and Deeper. We set up a Facebook page just announcing this lecture about 4 weeks ago, and it circulated in a viral way. Within 24 hours, we had full capacity RSVP. Students never RSVP, but on Facebook, it's easy to RSVP.
Just a click away.
Just a click away. And so we already knew what kind of uptake there was and interest in this guy's lecture. We could plan accordingly. We had a huge room. It was standing room only.
Did you live video stream it?
We didn't do it live, but we did. We will be putting it up on YouTube with his permission, and he's totally open about this. This whole thing is kind of open source, and his comic is, just circulating all over the world, and students are really hungry for it. It's really speaking to something that they're about, and a lot of it is about this disconnect between their own, if you will, knowledge and familiarity with technology and their professors. Many of his strips are about that. So that's just one obvious example. But, we're Twittering. We see the power of that. All it takes, for instance, is somebody who's following our site, so to speak, to bring, 1,500 of people following him to that site. So the numbers are kind of staggering. What they eventually mean for us remains to be seen. But, again, if you're not doing that, you're really out of the picture. The look of the page too. It has the architecture of it has to be reader friendly, user friendly. Everything from your, as you know, letters of reference, application process, information about funding. If that's not readily available, if students have to go looking for it, you're toast. You're yesterday's news. It's not worth it.
You're for sure toast if they can't find the prospective student button within 2 nanoseconds. You can just forget that.
So. Yeah, absolutely.
So how about the notion of actually figuring out, what are you doing about tracking all of these different channels to see which ones are actually, in the long run, turning into applications?
Well, that tracking is the operative word there. Google Analytics, very, very useful for us. We're having confirmed or reinforced our hunches about, first case, what are students interested in? The first thing they want to go there, button goes right to the programs. That's what they want to know. Second thing is the whole package of housing, cost, support. So those are the two areas. And the rest is kind of filler or frills. What's it like to live in St. John's? How many bars are there?
Do you like fog?
Do you like fog? Weather. But that all has to be there. But you see what students are clicking to. You see, of course, where students are coming from. You see what kind of programs they're interested in. So you get a very, very good sense very quickly. Now, again, where this all goes down the line remains to be seen, but certainly we're gathering information, as we all are these days. You have to know, what is your client base? Where is it coming from? And in turn, how do you then market or recruit them and beyond them to areas that are not tapping into what you have to offer? So it's absolutely critical. We've all turned into these kind of techno geek.
I love it.
Yeah, mean, you would. It's all new to me, but I'm very excited about it, and I'm totally behind it. And I realize that we had a leap to make. And once you make that leap to getting that, you're there. The world is working for you. And it's been great being the driver at our institution of this kind of thinking in general. So we've been, I think, a great model and been kind of boasting to other units and to the senior administration and to the VP's offices about the power of all this. The evidence is in the number of hits. We launched a microsite on March 11th, which is really gorgeous. A site, and again, it's a kind of ABC of application processing and all of that. Very, you know, one button away, and a grad student's whole world is made available to them through that site. The site was launched on March 11th. We went from 5,000 hits to 38,000 hits in 24 hours. And that, again, it's just staggering. So you have to imagine that a percentage of that is going to follow through. It's going to stick. It's just the law of averages.
And even if it doesn't stick with that clicker, it might stick with their roommate or their brother or, you know, something like that. So totally
it's
cool.
It's all about linking. It's all about making those connections. And you have to make it easy for them to make those connections for you.
There's something kind of odd about having the grad studies actually driving the techno thing, and although it's pretty exciting to have your staff running around talking about tag clouds and Twitter. And
right, exactly. It's great. As I said, it's so empowering for them. And, of course, you know, it's a truism, but the younger the staff, the more hip they are to it. And it's part two of a greening exercise, which I have found is really useful, because this whole way of thinking has generated a kind of consciousness about saving on paper, being more economical about how you're communicating, and so everybody can buy into that. So we were featured, for instance, 2 weeks ago in the university newsletter as one of the units that is more or the most progressive on campus in terms of greening its own office processes. But I see the linkage, right, between all of these things. And in fact, we're so obnoxiously in the face of everybody at the university right now that we're like Barack Obama. Like, people just like, get off television, get out of my, you know, we're like,
you haven't seen the Queen yet.
right, not yet. Waiting for the invitation. But yeah, it's, you know, it's those, everything is connected if you start thinking in terms of a kind of integrated recruitment plan that's, you know, economically and environmentally friendly, and is reaching out in ways that you could never even have imagined, even, you know, maybe 2 years ago or a year ago. Everything's happening now very, very quickly.
So let's round this up with your three tips for other grad studies for what they could do to get hip.
Well, I mean, the big message is, you know, look at your website and imagine yourself as a student who lands on your website and wants to take, say, do a PhD in one of your programs. And just try and go through, press the buttons and see how easy is it for them to learn about your institution and that program and to apply. That would be the first thing. So resources really need to be dedicated to that. The second thing is, it's about the team building aspect of it. I think work with your own staff, exploit the energy and the smarts of your own staff. In the end, and really in a very short order, you will see the effects on the kind of infectious enthusiasm that kind of activity generates. It gives a whole new purpose to what people are doing. Third thing, those are like the two big things that I've been excited about. Third thing is, I don't know, I'm nothing, I'm blanking out at that. By extension, stay on top of it. Don't take it for granted. Right now, I think that's a challenge. It's about the follow through. You know, the marketing campaign is 5 or 6 weeks. Our challenge now is, how are we going to sustain that? What's the next level going to be? And what do we do with the data that we're now amassing for the first time with such density and complexity? And linking that to, as I said earlier, kind of international national recruitment plan. So that's in a process. It's part of our plan's intentions, but we haven't yet hardened where that's going.
So the whole issue of the data analysis that we're going to get from this tracking data actually sounds like a thesis in there, but it's something that we've never really used before, and I can see that coming up. I may go find a computer science colleague and see what they could do for us on that. So I would thank Noreen and caution everybody to look out for these edgy memorial posters everywhere these days, and they've done a great job. So thanks, Noreen.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. If you'd like to get in touch with me about something you heard on this podcast or about an issue that you'd like to see covered, please email me at carolyn.waters@dal.ca. You can also leave a comment at the bottom of the page where this podcast is posted at universityaffairs.ca. Until next time, I'm Carolyn Waters, and thanks for listening.